News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, childcare is clearly a huge issue for thousands of our listeners out there this morning, but thousands of those listeners are set to benefit from substantial reductions in early learning and childcare costs from the start of next week under the National Childcare Scheme. Minister for Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth, Roderick O'Gorman, joins us now. Good morning to you, Minister. Thank you for joining us. Can you outline what this will mean in terms of costs, firstly, and what parents will now have to pay?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Ciara. Good morning. So, from Monday, the National Childcare Scheme subsidy towards parents' childcare costs is going to increase even further, and that's going to build on the increases that I introduced last year. This will mean that average childcare costs will have fallen by up to half for most parents over the course of the last 2 years. So what will practically mean a monthly saving of around €144 per parent per child where the family are using 45 hours of childcare per week, and in a full year that will be €1,731. So it's a substantial saving. It builds on the saving that I introduced last year, and I suppose it's been a key priority for myself and for the Green Party to cut childcare costs for parents, while at the same time increasing pay for childcare professionals and increasing investment in childcare services.
Okay, so you are putting yourself in between the providers and the parents, trying to keep down what parents are paying, trying to maintain what providers are receiving. But is it actually working? I mean, the National Women's Council has called for childcare to be nationalised because of the issues out there. We were talking on the floor here, our own production team this morning. One of our producers is expecting a baby, has been told there will be no childcare places available. This is in Dublin, so a very populated area, not somewhere remote. No childcare places in that area available till 2026. None.
So over the last 4 years as minister, I've implemented a lot of investment and a lot of reform. And that's meant the state is now far more involved in the delivery of early year learning and care. But kind of coming towards the end of my term in office, I'm very clear that the state actually has to do more. And I would actually like to see a much greater role for the state.
So do you agree with the National Women's Council? Should this be a bit like primary education or secondary education? Should this be run by the state?
I think the state needs to be taking a greater role in the provision of early years education. And when the Green Party publishes its general election manifesto, we'll be setting out clearly what we'd like to see happen here. But what I think would be really important is actually giving parents a legal entitlement to the 2 years of the ECCE programme. Most parents take it up now, but it's not actually a legal right in the same way that access to primary and secondary school is a legal right to children. So if we make it a legal right, that then places a much stronger obligation on the state to deliver it. And I would see in the future, actually, the state providing early years education in areas where capacity doesn't exist right now.
So you're not outruling this, is what I'm hearing you saying.
What I'm saying is that in the next term of government, because obviously this is something that would have to be delivered within a new programme for government, this is a policy proposal that I and the Green Party will be bringing forward. We've been able to deliver a lot over the last 4 years, but I think we can do more. We can build on the investment. We can build on the reform over the last 4 years. But that does need the state taking a greater role in the delivery of early years in terms of guaranteeing those 2 years of the ECCE programme as a legal right, but also in terms of better pay for staff, because that's fundamentally one of the biggest problems we have. Yeah. I've been able to get 2 pay increases for staff over the last 4 years.
Well, staff would say that they have to be very qualified to work in this sector,
indeed,
but it's not reflected in their wages.
It absolutely isn't. And even though I have been able to deliver those pay increases, we have to do more. And that has to be the third element in terms of really ensuring that we can deliver the best quality early learning and care for children, and be able to support parents in terms of the decisions they make balancing work and family life.
Minister, those who are participating in the scheme, those services who are participating, there's a maximum fee level set. Can you talk us through that a little bit? What will that mean for people?
Yeah, we're looking to introduce maximum levels of fees that services who are in core funding, who are getting that substantial state funding, can set. So from this year, from this September, any newly created service will be bound by maximum fees if it wants to take up core funding. And from next September, September 25, those fee caps will apply to all existing services. So the idea here is that most services charge their fees within a particular range, but there are certain services who charge a fee that's an outlier, that's much higher than that. And the idea is to start bringing those kind of together so we have a national fee structure. And again, it's about giving more kind of certainty and more equality to parents in terms of what they're paying for childcare.
Okay. We spoke on Breakfast Briefing this morning to Elaine Dunn from the Federation of Early Childcare Providers, and she was saying that a huge number of providers are pulling out of this scheme, that they're not going to sign up to it because that the core funding isn't simply enough, that what you're providing by way of subsidy and the caps being put on in terms of maximum fees, that it's simply you can't square the circle. It's no longer viable to run the service. What do you say to that?
Well, core funding is new funding that I brought in 2022. In 2022, I provided €221 million new funding for the sector. This year, I've been able to grow that to €331 million. So it's very substantial investment. One of the points Lane has been making is that there are certain services who were froze their fees at and they last raised their fees in 2015, 2016. And rightly, services have said, look, that's not fair where the service beside me last raised their fees in 2021 and they're frozen at that level. We've actually made a change to core funding this year. So services who are charging historically very low fees can actually make an application to increase their fees. So we've actually listened to the services and we're actually trying to take those steps to make sure they can continue to be sustainable. And just to say, you know, the last 2 years sign up for core funding has been around 95, 94%. And at the moment, we're seeing, you know, on track we're seeing the same percentage of signups this time this year as we were seeing this time last year.
Briefly, before I let you go, because I want to move on to something else, but under ones, childcare for under ones seem to be a real issue. This is preventing women, of course, from going back into the workforce who might want to do so.
Mm-hmm. It is a key issue, and I suppose one of the reasons I recently extended paid parents' leave was to provide, give those families, mums and dads, extra support, extra paid support in that first year.
Sure, but what if you want to go back to your job? What if you want to go back to your career?
And that's why, again, I come back to the point about in areas where there is undersupply of early learning and care, we need to see the state getting more involved. We're entirely dependent on the private sector at the moment on where they identify as the best place to set up early learning and care. And look, they deliver amazing early learning and care all over the country. But in areas where there is low supply of spaces, I believe the time is right now for the state to get more involved in the actual provision.
So we'll watch this space. We may ask you about that again in the future, Minister. Before I let you go, school places have been an issue. We've interviewed several people in the last week or two who do not have, despite schools in their area already being open, a place for their child, particularly children with special needs. We spoke to one mother earlier this week whose daughter, Amber, has been turned down by 19 schools. She has significant additional needs. What is going to happen for people in that position? It is absolutely appalling for families caught up in that.
It is, and those families have been let down by the state. And I know this because I am working with a number of families in my own Dublin West constituency on this particular issue. We haven't been able to plan the delivery of new ASDE classes or indeed special schools and match that with the increases of young children presenting with additional needs. One piece of work that I'm going to do, that I'm doing in my department is...
Why haven't we been able to match, Minister?
Well, as I say, one thing that we're doing now to actually resolve this is my department supports children with additional needs attending early years through AIM, the Access and Inclusion Model. So we're going to start using the data when we know we're supporting maybe 20 children in Dublin, 15, to access AIM, that we provide that information to the Department of Education through the NCSE as a really clear point of information for them that they know there is a need for primary school places for these children coming forward. So it's actually about using the information that is available.
Sure, but Minister, Amber is a secondary school place. Nobody was unaware of the fact that this is a child
with special needs. It's at secondary school where I find it even more frustrating that the NCSE hasn't been able to, I suppose, trace the journey of a child.
Can you guarantee there'll be some change on that, and these families will be supported so that their children do get a school place?
Well, I know from, and I've had regular meetings with Minister Hildegard Knoxon, who's really been focusing on this across the last number of months. She and the NCSE are doing absolutely everything they can to deliver an appropriate school place for all children who need it, be it at primary, an ASD class at primary or secondary level, or indeed within a special school.
We will come back to that, no doubt, Minister, in due course. That is the Minister for Education, for Children, Equality, Disability and Integration and Youth, Roderick O'Gorman.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.